Welcome to the Industry Debate, The Next 5 Years, recorded at the Dentistry Show, NEC Birmingham, April 2016. I'm chairing this debate. My name is Ben Atkins, and I'm a trustee of the Oral Health Foundation and the clinical director of Revive Dental Care in Manchester. The speakers are established figures from the UK dental community and need little introduction. Steve Preddy, dental clinical director for Bupa.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Eddie. Thanks for the invitation to talk. So I'm Steve Preddy. I'm the clinical director at Bupa Dental Services in the UK. As Eddie, I'm also a clinical dentist. I work in one of Bupa's biggest practices in central London. Worked in corporate dentistry for about 15 years. Prior to that, obviously associate, and I've had my own dental practices as well. So we've looked at themes that are really quite similar to Eddie's. Putting the customer at the heart of everything that we do, and to talk about customer rather than patient deliberately. We have a debate really within the profession. Some people say they're patients. In Bupa, we have people who are on dental or medical plans who are customers. Either the business is providing things for their staff, or they're people who are self-funding. We have true patients who don't have plans with anyone. They come to the practices and pay. But they're at the heart of everything we do. I'm going to talk briefly about why dentists, we believe, are a selling practice and why we think that will continue, and why groups like ours and Oasis and the other corporates may well increase. And also a slight difference, if I have time, on our global commitment, because we're a global company. So the patient's at the heart of everything, and their evolving expectations. One of the things that Eddie talked about really was sort of access to information. It's now freely available. Most dental practices have a website, usually good, sometimes excellent. Companies such as ours, the other corporates, the toothpaste manufacturers, the material suppliers, there's a wealth of information for patients, most of which is very high quality. We've got research that shows us that now 8 out of 10 patients actually access the internet before a medical or dental consultation if they feel they have a problem. But out of those, 80% of them then say that they find that some of the information they get is actually quite conflicting, and they come to us as the clinicians to actually have possibly interpretation of what may be excellent or may not be quite so excellent information. Cosmetic treatments, and in that I would include, as Eddie said, really probably elective treatment might be a better term. Other research we've got that was done last year shows that we expect a 10% increase in the provision of elective or cosmetic treatment, which doesn't really include things like Botox and facial aesthetics, but would include implants, to in 2020 to be a market worth just under £10 billion in the UK alone. It's quite significant. So patients now expect and want other things. Now, compliance, I'm talking about from a patient perspective. They might not think of it as compliance, but basically they expect high quality treatment that is safe and is effective and is delivered properly in a safe and well-led environment. They might not think of it in those terms, but increasingly that's what they're demanding. And then regulations, from a patient's perspective, some maybe, some are not aware of their, we've now got obviously a regulatory requirement to discuss treatment on individual need, to provide treatment on individual need that's better for that patient. They might not understand it in its regulatory requirement. It's always been an ethical requirement, but increasingly that expectation is there for them. So where does that leave us in terms of dentistry? Well, we believe that corporate dentistry will increase because of the regulatory requirements and because of the demands from patients. I think it's fair to say that some of the dentists that come to us now aren't of an age where normally they may have been retiring and thinking of selling practices. It's at a younger age where they realise that they're trying to enjoy their dentistry and trying to provide the high quality care. But the demands of leading a business and managing a business, managing the compliance and the other things that go with it, lead to a problem possibly sometimes with a work-life balance for some. So by coming to a corporate environment where other people can look after a lot of the regulatory matters and the compliance issues, they can deliver great dentistry and an environment which they're familiar with, and often where their earnings are comparable or sometimes better than they were when they actually had their own businesses. There's an escalating cost of delivery which adds to that pressure, which combined gives it the industry pressure. A lot of that again is, for me personally, I find that the time I spend to deliver an item of treatment now takes me much longer than it once did. it's not because I've got slower as I've got older. It's because now the conversations with patients, the recording of the information, the consent process, everything takes longer, in addition to the cost of providing the compliance, providing the technology and the things that people come to expect. We've got a global commitment, so our corporate strategy really isn't just in the UK. We've got practices around the world. One of the interesting things for me is the interaction with my colleagues. Some of the things that we do where we're abreast or even ahead of industry developments are implemented in other parts of the world. Safe Sharps is an example. Bupa has a global commitment to that, where in other parts of the world it's not compulsory. It's not always implemented in the UK. In a Bupa world it is. We're driven by a purpose, longer, healthier, happier lives. We can provide economies of scale, the skill and expertise in compliance, which means that we can do things for patients in a high quality and affordable manner. We've no shareholders, so our profits are able to be reinvested, provide better healthcare and more healthcare provision to more customers. Will dentistry look different in the practices to patients? No, not really. I don't feel in the next 5 years. We're investing, as are people in independent practices and other groups. These are examples. One is Bupa Centre Bank, of practices that we built in central London and Canary Wharf, purpose-built practices. In other places, we've got practices that we bought, traditional practices. Three of our most recent ones have been established over 30 years in Newcastle upon Tyne, Newcastle under Lyme, and one in Knightsbridge, delivering great dentistry, general dentistry, specialist dentistry, at a very high level, and now specialist practices. So the patients won't really see a difference in that manner. More technology, but are they aware of that? Some are, some are not. So finally, our outlook for the next 5 years in dentistry, we feel it will be an increasingly corporatised market. Patients and regulators have higher expectations of us, and as Eddie said, I feel quite rightly. The transparent information, everyone has a right to know, the right to access for their information and to be involved in their treatment decisions, and our quality and compliance. Patients don't understand it in those terms, but all we do really should be about the well-being and the benefit of our patients. Thank you very much. Thanks.
The industry debate, the next 5 years, was recorded at the Dentistry Show NEC Birmingham, April 2016, by 2020dentistry.com, and audio post-production by Mads Vid. With a special thank you to all the speakers and participants for taking part in the discussion and allowing us to share it. Thank you.